Okay. good evening, all. Again, this is Brother Carl Ubisa from the Church of Christ. Universal, actually, if you look at it, the Church of Christ is universal. But we are in the body of Christ, but a different vineyard. Before, I came from locally Queens, so East Flushing Church of Christ. Now, nandito na tayo sa West Coast. So, we worship at Central Church of Christ dito sa may Oceanside, California. right now, due to COVID, medyo stop muna ang worship services. But then again, we still worship online with the East Flushing Church of Christ group meron sa Facebook. Before we start our lesson, again, our lesson is what can we learn from death? All right. What does death bring to us? Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for allowing us to have this time with you, and for allowing us, dear Father in heaven, to study your word, and also, dear Father in heaven, to allow us, dear Father in heaven, to be on this program. An hour with God through the Lighthouse on the MixLR app. We thank you for the gift of technology that you have given upon us and for allowing us to have this time, dear Father in heaven, with you. Help us to open up, dear Father in heaven, our hearts, and help our hearts, dear Father, to have the good soil so that we may be accepting of your word and digest the spiritual food that we're about to partake. We thank you for all thy blessings. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, this is going to be a very short lesson. So, with the recent events that we have in our family, I kind of like thought of what does death teach us? Okay, what does it bring to us? A lot of people would think that death would bring stress in the family or worry in the family, because one family member's death equals a financial burden, right? So most of us would have that problem, right? A lot of people would think that death in the family would bring, of course, we would miss the person, would bring a lot of sadness. But I guess it depends on how you look at it. And it depends on if you look at how God looks at the situation and how God sees the future of that family or that person, right? God doesn't want us to suffer. God doesn't want us to be sad, okay? He wants us to be joyful. God brings us through all these problems that we have in our lives, you know, debts, struggles, stresses, to strengthen us. For us to be molded into a person that he wants us to be. Because he knows in the future, we would face problems more difficult than what we have right now. And that the problems that we face are only temporary. The problems that he allows us to have are problems that would make us become like his son, Jesus Christ. If we look at death, that is a very grim and sad word. that sometimes brings, not sometimes, but all the time, brings sorrow. It's okay to be sorrowful. God allows us to be sorrowful. But we have to remember that even though in our sorrowful times, if we call upon His name, He would be there. He comforts us during our affliction, during our problems, and during our darkest times. So, if we look at death, all I mentioned to you earlier looks like it's about negativity, right? Sorrow, pain, suffering, worry. There are some Bible examples that we can find on how we can turn that debt around. Okay, so what does debt bring to us? Okay, I observed during the death of my uncle and my grandma, that brings families together. That brings families together, right? Families from all over the world. I have family members from different parts of the world. I have a cousin in the Middle East. I have family members in Canada. I have family members here in the continental United States. And I have families back in the Philippines. And all the other families that were working abroad, they went home. Okay. So that they would be able to support that family member. In the Bible, we can find an example, all right, on how debt within our families or debt with our friends or our loved ones, right, would be able to bring families together. Okay, if we look at the book of Ruth, chapter 1, right, you remember Ruth, right? And his mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi lost his son, right? But how did Ruth turn this around for Naomi? He went with Naomi. He even said, your God shall be my God, right? That's how we should look at it. That's how we should look at debt. It brings families together. That's a positive. That's a plus. Right? Even though we have that sorrowful moment with that family member who died, still, it brings us together. It bonds us together. It binds us as one. Okay? Let me read for you Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. For wherever you lodge, I will lodge. For your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Okay, so it binds family or bonds family together, right? If we look at Jesus, you remember, all right, when Lazarus died, okay, he got the news and he was really far away, all right, what did Jesus do? He waited a few more days, right? Before he went to Lazarus. But what did Jesus do? He still went. He finished his job first, whatever God wants him to do, and then he went to Lazarus. And you know the whole story. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus also wept. The most important thing there is Jesus wept and he went to Lazarus. That only shows us that Jesus really loved this person, Lazarus. And not only that, it bonds family together. It brings loved ones together. Okay, we can find that in John chapter 11. Okay, on your own time, you can read the whole chapter. Right? So that is one of the positives that I see about death. If you had death in your family just recently. Right? So what is the other positive that we can get from death in maybe a loved one or a family member or a friend? Okay. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-29, this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. But if we look at it, if we thoroughly read and study these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-29, it gives us a lot of lesson about death. And this is the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me read it for you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." That's up to verse 26 only. And then verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Every time, or most of the time, before we take the Lord's Supper on a Sunday, during worship service, we only take it once a week, okay? Not midweek, we don't take it on Wednesdays. We don't take it on Fridays. Only upon the first day of the week, because that is the practice of the apostles, the disciples. Okay, and we follow that. That's what's written in the Bible. That's how often we should take or partake the Lord's Supper. But the importance of this Bible verses that I mentioned, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-29, is Jesus' death, or even death of your own family member or loved ones or your friends. What does it bring? It brings us to internalize or to look at the positive things that that person has brought into our lives. Okay? It looks at the positive things that that person brings to our lives. Our recent loved ones that died, my grandma, it brought memories of her. It brought memories of how she took care of us, even though for a short period of time during summer, and this is me, we go to her place in Quezon City, back in the Philippines, or even during the holidays. And that short period of time that we go to her or she goes to us and visit us, brings a lot of joy. My uncle, I remember him. When he was younger, he takes care of us. He has that specific laugh, right? Everybody remembers that. And also he has that a funny take on he's like an easygoing person, right? That's how I remember him. Same thing with Jesus in the institution of the Lord's Supper, the one that I just read. Before we partake the Lord's Supper, we look at his death on the cross. We internalize his death on the cross, not because we are looking at how he suffered, but we are looking at what he did for us on the cross. He died on the cross for the sins of all, so that everyone would have a chance. I'm saying would have, or, all right, would have a chance at eternal life. So if we also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 29, we look at the last parts that I just mentioned. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's in verse 28 and to 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It brings us, and this is another positive that we can take from a death of a family member or a loved one. It brings us to internalize ourselves. To internalize how we were with that person. What was our relationship with that person when they were still alive? Okay. I remember with my grandma last time she was here. It was in New York. She visited us in Brooklyn. At that time, I remember, I believe I still do not have a job. I would say I was a couch potato. but if I look at it, I could have done something more for her. I feel that way. I feel a little guilt. I could have, you know, taken her out. Even though I don't have a job, I could have taken the train with her to the city and show her a little bit more of the city, even though we did that together as a family with my dad and my mom. But I felt like I could have done more. There's a lot of wasted time that I had with her. Same thing with my uncle. I could have messaged her on Facebook, or I could have written him a letter when he was still strong and healthy. I could have said hi to him or his family. Those are the regrets that I have. Those are the guilt that I have. And I know you would feel the same way too if a family member passed away or a loved one passed away. The ifs, the buts, and the could-haves and the would-haves and should-haves that we should have done. If we look at the Bible verse that I just read, going back to Jesus, right? 28 to 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We internalize ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper, because we do not want to take the Lord's Supper in vain. Some people think that we're taking the Lord's Supper just because our family member said it, or just because our brother or sisters in Christ said it, right? we have to have that right relationship with God. We have to have the right heart. We have to have the right attitude before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Because in verse 29, he says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So we internalize. We internalize the debt of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we look into ourselves. We look up to him. We look inside of us. That's another positive that we can get from the debt. Or from death. Okay. And the one last positive thing that we can get from death is what? It brings us closer to God so that we may glorify him. It brings us closer to God so that we may glorify him. If we look at the Bible, the Old Testament, just one example. Remember Job? Job, when everything was taken away from him, right? God has allowed this thing to happen to him so that God would test him. But in all occasions, Job did not sin. Remember when his sons were taken away from him and his daughters were taken away from him? One after the other, a servant comes in and says, "Hey, you know what? This happened to your household. The Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took away everything." And then that servant was still talking. Then another one comes in and says, "Hey, you know what? Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine and at their older brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, right, and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on them. They all died. And I am the only one alone who escaped to tell you." What did Job do? Did he say, "God, it's your fault. God, you did this to me. Why?" Job did not say that. In verse 21, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job glorified God when everything was taken away from him, when he does not have anything at all, he still glorified God. Job, the enemy or Satan thought that he took everything away from Job. But to Job, God is everything. That's how we should glorify God. Even though the enemy takes away our family member or our loved ones, we should still glorify God, because our loved ones, their lives, our uncles, our mother, our father, our brothers and sisters, even our sons or your sons or daughters, they're all temporary. Their lives are not promised, or our lives are not promised. Every hour, every minute, every second, God can take away that life. My uncle is a very young person. He's 55, 56 years old, I believe. we should have that mindset like Job. We should glorify God, even though we had that debt in our family. We should have the same mindset that Job said in verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the same manner, if we look at Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, right? It brings us closer to God, right? It brings us closer to God. Jesus Christ, death on the cross. How did I say that? Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus' death on the cross is an answer for the sins that man has done. The answer for the sins of the world. But when Jesus said this in John chapter 11, verse 25, believe in him, he shall live. Do we stop at believing? Jesus already paid the price of our sins, his death on the cross. What else shall we do? We should have to answer to his death on the cross. Jesus or God has already met us halfway. We have to do something else. To meet Jesus or God halfway, that would be our part. And what is that? What is that part? We have to hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to earth so that we would have an answer for our sin problem. Romans 10:17. That's one of the Bible examples about hearing the gospel. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing, we have to believe. We have to believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We can find a Bible verse for that. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. After believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the next step we should do is we have to repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, Luke 13 and 5, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's kind of like saying to God, the repentance of our sins, God, I'm turning away from my evil ways that I have done in the past. And I am putting my life and I am following you. It's a 180 degree turn. Just saying, Lord, you're right, I am wrong. After repentance of our sins, what should we do? We have to confess Christ before men. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But do we stop at confessing Christ before men? Some churches would say, some denominational churches would say, receive Jesus in your heart and you will be saved. That is wrong. You cannot find that in the Bible. again, we speak the truth in love whenever we talk about salvation, whenever we talk about eternal life, because this is serious business. Again, I said earlier, our lives are not promised to us. Every hour, minute, and second is counted by God. And one snap of his finger, your life can be taken away. Because it's not yours to keep, it's his. After confessing Christ before men, what should we do? We have to be baptized. Baptized in water. We have to go underwater. This is the removal, the washing away of our sins. You can find a Bible example, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when the first gospel was preached. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Moreover, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned." Again, baptism. We have to be baptized in the correct church. There is only one church that God has mentioned in the Bible. Not founded by man, but founded by Christ, God himself. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. Churches means congregations. He did not say denominational churches. There's only one church in the Bible. But you have to be baptized in the right church, in the correct church, in order for you to be saved. And your founder has to be Jesus Christ, not man, not established by man, established by God himself. After baptism in water, what should we do? What will happen? God will add you to his kingdom. We cannot add you in the body of Christ. We do not have that power because we're mere men or women in the churches of Christ. Only God can do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That's the Bible example of that. All you have to do is endure till the end of time. Revelation 2:10 states, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's it. All, that's it. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all those who are listening in the elsewhere. I pray that this message would touch your heart in a special way. And please, I pray, do not delay. Do not delay. Next thing you know, God might come soon, Jesus might come soon, and it's all over for you. All we have to do is we have to meet him halfway. God already did his part. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of all. But what would we do? What should we do on our part? We have to meet him halfway. And I already gave you the plan of salvation, the steps to salvation, so that we would be able to meet God halfway. That's on our part. Thank you very much. God bless you, all those who are listening. Thank you.